Nancy, thanks so much for making time for us. It's interesting. I think some people have tried to understand the plight of the owner, but you seem, I think, more frustrated by how they've been handling this so far.
Yeah, well, first of all, hello, Sarah. Hello, Jason. I mean, I'm somebody who doesn't agree with giving handouts to billionaire owners to begin with, even when there's not a pandemic going on. But the fact that, you know, these are people who are not scraping by. These are people who have, you know, in the case of the Bruins owner, he is worth $3.3 billion. That's billion with a B. And yet he has laid off his entire staff. And those are people who are scraping by. Not all of them probably, but some of them. Certainly the arena workers, the people who are there on game days. And to me, that's just unconscionable. You know, when you rely on the public, whether it's through tax breaks, public financing, you know, using public services on game days, and then to lay people off and put them in a position where they have to rely on public services just to stay afloat, that to me is completely unacceptable.
For an owner like Tillman Fertitta, who is seemingly, I won't say panicking, but he's got the doomsday things ready, it seems. He's talking about his cash line, and of course, he's made his money in the restaurant and hospitality and casino business, which are all shut down now. How would you suggest he go about his business going forward? Because, you know, it seems like he's telling his truth. It's just nobody wants to hear it. And obviously, there's a lot more going on with people who aren't billionaires right now.
Yeah, well, one of the ways that he could do it is what many, 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 many other owners have done, even when they don't need cash flow, is they sell shares of the team. And he's actually been urged by people in the NBA before to take on some partial owners just to reduce his financial risk, and he's refused to do it. So, you know what? If you're hurting for money, maybe now would be a good time to go out to some of the other billionaires in Houston or millionaires in Houston and saying, hey, how would you like 1% of my team in exchange for, I don't know, what, $5 million, $10 million, $20? You know, I think that if he did that to 3, 4, 5 people, that could make a difference.
You think there's a market, though, right now? And trust me, I'm not on any billionaire or owner's side in this situation, but you think there's a market for that right now with everybody expecting what's about to happen economically?
I think for some people, I mean, listen, if, you know, if he came knocking on my door and asking me if I wanted to buy a share of the team, probably going to have to take a pass at this point. But if he's talking to somebody who has millions and millions and millions in assets, yeah, are they going to take a hit in the next couple months? Of course, we all are. But there are some people who are far more protected than others, and that would be the people who have those millions and millions and millions of dollars in assets.
Yeah, and even if it's not a good market for it, it happens so rarely where you have an opportunity to get in on the incredibly good business that is professional sports that maybe you just, if you got the kind of money that would have you in that conversation in the first place, maybe this is the only chance you're going to get. At Spain & Company, we're talking to USA Today's Nancy Armour, who wrote a story about many different owners not necessarily handling this coronavirus pandemic the way one would hope. One of the things that I love that you pointed out is you found Brian and Michael Morin, not billionaires, but they've got restaurants, and they took out a $50,000 line of credit promising their employees at their Federico's Pizza restaurant that the paychecks would keep coming even if they didn't have business. And it is remarkable to look at people who are at lower levels. I have great friends here in Chicago that run the 50-50 restaurant group. Not only are they, you know, paying employees, but they're doing community meals for any furloughed or laid off workers, even if they don't work for them, every single day, 400 meals. So it does stand in such stark contrast to looking at somebody like Fertitta laying off 40,000 employees within
40,000
2 weeks or whatever it is.
Yeah, he hit the panic button immediately.
Well, and like you pointed out, Jason, his businesses are going to be hit hard immediately. I get that. Hotels, casinos, restaurants. However, you do have resources. Like Sarah, like you pointed out, if you are somebody who wants to buy a team, you're probably going to do what you need to make that happen. And also, too, if you have money, if you have assets, the odds of you getting a line of credit or the odds of you getting a loan from a bank are pretty darn good at this point. I think that they would probably, those types of people would have more of luck getting money lent to them now than I would. I think what we're seeing is, you know, people are trying to do good. Like, I think the vast majority of us realize that we are in this together. It's awful. It's horrifying. The stories out in New York and other places are just, they're gut-wrenching. And so people are realizing we have to be able, you know, we have to help out for each other. We have to look out for one another. And there are some team owners who are doing that. I mean, Mark Cuban has been phenomenal. The LA group, the AEG, they've been terrific. The Warriors, like, there are some people who are doing it right. And that, to me, kind of makes it even more stark when you have these people who are, sorry, week 10 days into this, I'm cutting you all, you know, all of you, good luck to you. I mean, it's just, it's kind of disgusting.
The great Nancy Armour joining us here, Spain and Company, ESPN Radio from USA Today. I want to ask you about the premise of don't forget how you were treated or don't forget who's doing this while this is happening. Because when we get on the other side of it, it can't be all seashells and balloons. We say that quite often. We say it when things go awry in the NFL or the NFL doesn't handle things the way that we would like. We say it with politicians. We say it all the time. After something like this and sports being a part of this fabric of this country and interwoven so much so that people have not only the emotional but sometimes the financial investment, do you think people are going to remember? Do you think people are going to say to themselves, you know what, I remember how this station or this industry or this team or this, you know, business or this company handled themselves during one of the worst times in recent memory? Or do you think people would just be happy to get back to normal life and kind of leave the grudge at the door?
That's a great question, because I think the tendency is we always say that, oh, yeah, we're going to remember this, and then we you know, time goes by and we forget. This feels to me a little bit different, though, and maybe that's wishful thinking on my part. And maybe it's just because I know that I'm going to have a long memory, and the next time one of these guys does try and ask for help, I will be the first one to be calling them out on it. But I would hope, and I actually said this to a friend tonight, I hope that if there's anything good that comes out of this, besides people realizing what heroes our medical professionals and teachers and delivery services and people who pick up garbage are, that we remember that we are all, like, we need each other and we have to help each other out, you know, in good times and in really bad times. Like, the only thing you're going to be able to count on are the people around you. So I hope that we remember that. I don't know if I'm confident that we will.